Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to CITR 101.9, coming to you live from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam people right here at UBC. And we'd like to take this moment to thank them for housing us here at CITR. And now, the moment you've been waiting for. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Finding the Funny. With your host, Nico McEwen. Hey, hey, everybody. You're listening to Finding the Funny today on April 24th. What a great Monday it's been so far. And today's episode is TV comedy. This is an episode I have been particularly excited about. I love my TV comedies. We've talked about films. We've talked about sketches. What else other than TV comedy? Of course, we'll talk a lot about sitcoms, but I do want to cover all types of TV comedy if we have time. Don't forget to tweet us at Finding the Funny on Twitter to let us know all of your thoughts about today's discussion. If you agree or disagree, we're always happy to hear. Or if you just want to tell us that you loved the clip that we played, feel free to tweet us, Finding the Funny on Twitter. You can't talk about TV comedy without talking about the 90s. That's right, the 1990s were a huge time for sitcoms. So, of course, we're going to have to play a clip from Seinfeld and Friends, two of my favorite shows of all time. And I hope you guys enjoy this first clip. Is from Seinfeld's Junior Mints episode.
Roy, this is Kramer. He's one of our friends.
How do you do?
Yeah, I do great.
Hi, Roy.
Oh, hey, Dr. Siegel.
Hey, Doc. Check this out.
Hey,
I just learned that.
I just wanted to stop by, see if you had any questions about tomorrow's operation.
I have a question. What do you know about inter-abdominal retractors?
Are you asking because you saw 2020 last night?
I sure am.
Well, that report was about one very specific type of retractor. And I can assure you we do not use that retractor in your friend's procedure.
But you will use a retractor.
We have to.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what. You're obviously concerned about your friend's welfare. A few of my students will be observing tomorrow's operation from the viewing gallery. How would you like to watch it with them?
I'd love to watch the operation, yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, come on, Jerry, you gotta see the operation. They're gonna cut him open, his guts will be all over the place.
Yeah, that's true.
They'll saw through bone. We'll see what's inside bone.
We'll open the peritoneal cavity, exposing the body's internal organs. Nurse, retractor.
What are you eating?
Junior Mints.
You want one?
No. I can't see.
Get.
Where'd you get those?
The machine. You want one?
No.
Here. Take one.
I don't want one.
No, they're good. Take
I don't want any.
Just take one.
No.
Stop.
Kramer, stop it.
Balcony, bounced off some respirator thing into the patient.
What do you mean, into the patient?
Into the patient, literally.
Into the hole?
Yes. The hole.
Didn't they notice it?
No.
How could they not notice it?
Because it's a little mint. It's a junior mint.
So, those are a couple of clips from the Junior Mint episode of Seinfeld. Honestly, one of the best episodes ever written for TV comedy. As you guys heard what happened, basically they're watching a surgery and a mint goes into the patient. It's just so absurd and so funny. And obviously, these characters are the perfect ones to do it because Kramer is the type of person that would just keep shoving it on you and shoving it on you, and Jerry would kind of complain and push back, and then they're silly enough that that would occur. And that's one thing that's so important when it comes to TV comedy, is you have this huge advantage with getting to build characters over time. And so your jokes essentially should get better with each episode. And so as funny as this is, it's even funnier because of who the characters are. And that's one part that I was worried about playing over the radio for this episode, because anyone who doesn't know the characters might not necessarily understand exactly what's kind of happening or be able to imagine it the same over radio. But I think this episode is still a good one because the context is also so funny in its own right. But yeah, I definitely recommend watching Seinfeld because it's one of the top comedies ever written. They fit so many jokes into that show. It starts off with Jerry doing stand-up, which is something I really love. I was actually hoping that Mulaney's show, John Mulaney's show, would do that. I don't think it did, if I recall correctly. But yeah, so that was the Junior Mints episode from Seinfeld. Such a crazy, crazy topic for an episode, and the episode's really centered around it. And I hope you guys enjoyed that as much as I did. We'll be more about Seinfeld and play our next clip, which will be from Friends, right after this ad from our sponsors.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
There are two main types of TV comedy. There is a protagonist who is normal and finds himself in absurd situations, or there is a protagonist who creates absurdity around themselves in what is usually a normal situation. Seinfeld is very much a normal character who is put in these kind of crazy areas, I guess you could say, even though, as you know, it's a show about nothing, which it's not. It's still got the traditional aspects of a TV sitcom with a small main cast that kind of have an A story, a B story, and a C story. So the Junior Mints aspect is the A story in this episode, and it's actually Elaine's friend who's getting the surgery. I don't need to summarize the episode, but the reason why I was bringing that up is because, like I said, the Junior Mints thing is so absurd about that going into a hospital patient and the fact that Jerry was even watching it in the first place, but that was only because Kramer convinced him to come with, and then he got mixed up in all this craziness. A show like The Mindy Project is very much more of a protagonist who kind of creates the issues for herself, that being Mindy Kaling, the main character on the show, or Mindy Lahiri. One other quick note before we move on to our next couple clips is just that they had so many jokes even within the clips that I played from Seinfeld, and that's one thing I love about TV comedy is that they're always pushing it to get as many jokes in there as they can, even if they're as short and quick as when Elaine's friend says, "How do you do?" and Kramer says, "I do great." That's just a funny reply. It's just weird and unexpected, and it's great, and it doesn't progress the story, but TV comedy is all about getting laughs wherever you can, and Seinfeld is definitely one of the best at that. Alright, so now for our next clip. This is going to be from Friends, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure there are lots of Friends lovers out there, whether you watched it originally when it was on TV, like me and my family back in the day, or whether you watch it now on Netflix. It's definitely, I think, probably one of Netflix's top watch shows, just because Friends is so great. And so here's a clip.
Hey, what have you guys been up to?
Oh, we went to a self-defense class today.
Wow.
Yeah,
Kicking a guy in the crotch all morning really takes it out of you.
Takes it out of you.
No, now we can kick anybody's ass.
Yeah.
After one class? I don't think so.
What? You want to see me self-defend myself? Go over there and pretend you're a sexual predator. Go on, I dare you.
Of course you could defend yourself from an attack you know is coming. That's not enough. Look, I studied karate for a long time. And there's a concept you should really be familiar with. It's what the Japanese call unagi.
Isn't that a kind of sushi?
No, it's a concept.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's freshwater eel.
All right, maybe it means that too.
Oh, I would kill for a salmon skin roll right now.
No, fine. Get attacked. I don't even care.
Come on, Ross. We're sorry. Please tell us what it is.
Unagi is a state of total awareness. Okay, only by achieving true unagi can you be prepared for any danger that may befall you.
You mean in case someone's trying to steal your bamboo sleeping mat or your kettle of fish?
All I'm saying is, it's one thing being prepared for an attack against, like, each other. Whole nother story being prepared for an attack. I don't know, like, a surprise! All right, you knew that was coming, but that doesn't mean you have unagi.
Ooh, you know what? If we made reservations, we could have unagi in about a half hour.
You know what?
Oh, yes, last
one. Danger! Danger!
What the hell was that?
A lesson in the importance of unagi. Perhaps. Now, I'm curious, at what point during those girlish screams would you have begun to kick my ass?
All right, so we weren't prepared.
I'm sorry I had to take such drastic measures to make my point, but I just want you guys to be safe.
Oh.
Danger! Unagi! Hey, Chandler. I sensed it was you.
What?
Unagi. I'm always aware.
Okay, are you aware that unagi is an eel?
Salmon skin roll. Pat Sajak?
Yeah.
Alex Trebek? Oh, of course. Chuck Woolery. Definitely, Phoebe, you will not find a single game show host whose ass I cannot kick.
Easily get out of this, but there's a chance you could get very, very hurt. Oh!
Okay, ladies, that ends today's class. And let's remember, let's be safe out there.
It's a great class.
Thanks.
Yeah, I was watching. Hey, a couple of questions, though. You know about that last move where that woman tripped you and then pinned you to the floor? What would you do next?
Well, then she'd take the keys and try to jam
them in you. No. What would you do next?
Oh, me the attacker?
Yes, that's right.
Why?
I tried attacking two women. Did not work.
What?
No, I mean, it's okay. I mean, they're my friends. In fact, I was married to one of them.
You just straight, man. You attacked your ex-wife?
Oh, no. I tried. But I couldn't. That's why I'm here. Maybe we could attack them together. That's enough. Uh-huh. Nowhere to run.
I don't like sitting up here. I'm gonna go over. Wait till they got here first. Why is Ross doing that?
Danger!
Oh my God! Why is he jumping on those women? We should help them. I don't think they need any help.
So that was the Unagi episode of Friends. I really hope you guys enjoyed that as much as I do. It's one of my favorite episodes, and I know I played a lot of clips from it. That was actually thanks to a YouTube page, so if you type in Friends Unagi, you will find those clips mashed together. And let's dive into what they're all about and why that is absolutely hilarious. As always, everybody who wants to contact us, make sure you tweet at FindingTheFunny or at One Man One Show, which is our Twitter handle. But you'll see the Finding the Funny description and our logo, as well as our description up there. So tweet us with all your thoughts, follow us on Twitter, and we want to hear everything you have to say, especially if it's about the Unagi episode of Friends. So it's always funny when one character thinks something that is totally absurd, and you really need to have distinct characters to be able to do that. I know I mentioned that with Seinfeld. Friends is, of course, another great example of that with all six of its characters. They all definitely have defined traits, and it's really great that Ross keeps talking about Unagi, and they get to make all these sushi jokes, as well as the hilarity of him trying to scare them and attack them. And one of the best parts of that episode is that conversation between him and their martial arts trainer, where basically he's talking about attacking them. And I really just had to play all of that together because it was put together to be such a well-done episode. Like, with each moment, they definitely milked the most out of the Unagi humor, I'd say. So yeah, as you guys heard, that was the Unagi episode of Friends. Definitely one of the best. Just so much pure humor of characters being totally crazy and it being okay because they're friends because of the backstory. And this is actually, I think, the A or the B story in this episode. It's one of like the key stories, which is why there's so much going on about it. And I thought it was a great idea for an episode. I mean, how crazy is that, that you could literally spend 10 minutes of an episode on one character trying to attack two other characters, but it's funny because they're friends and all of this other stuff going on, you know what I mean? So that's definitely one thing that TV comedy has an advantage in, is that with so many episodes, you have so many chances to try different things. This might have been an idea somebody mentioned in an earlier season, and it was denied, because who would think an episode about Unagi and martial arts based off these six friends in New York would make any sense? But it does, and it's funny, and I'm glad that they finally made it, if it was something that they had thought of previously, I don't know. And now an ad from our sponsors. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody listening, on Wednesday, April 26th, you can catch another episode of Thunderbird Locker Room. That's every Wednesday at 11 p.m. to 11:59. You can listen in. Thunderbird Locker Room gives you a back room perspective on varsity athletes, coaches, and staff right here at UBC. You don't want to miss it. One of your proud shows here on CITR. All right, so now for our final clip of the episode. Very proudly playing a great modern TV show. That's right, it's Modern Family. Now, for all of you viewers who listened in at the start and heard me mention talking about other types of TV comedy than sitcom, we are not going to be able to fit it into this episode, unfortunately. However, I really did want to end with Modern Family, as I played Seinfeld and Friends, which were
two of the tops of the 90s and early 2000s, I guess. But Modern Family, I'd say, is probably the top sitcom of this current TV generation, I guess you could say. So enjoy this clip from Modern Family in Finding the Funnies episode, TV Comedy.
All right, guys, tie game, 3 seconds left. There's only one thing that they're not going to be expecting. We're going to get the ball to Phil.
What?
They're not even guarding you. I'm so sure of this play, I just bet Barkley my car.
Is it a Honda?
No, it's a Phantom with my head as the hood on me. All right, let's win this thing.
Phil, honey, hi. I'm sorry we're late, but at least we're here for the end of the game. Could really use a win on the day I drank a fish.
Drink like a fish.
Wow, a bunch of NBA players are tweeting about this bet between Charles Barkley and DeAndre Jordan. And they're live streaming it, so like 60,000 people are watching.
Since when do people care about basketball?
Calm down, Phil. You can do this, pal.
You choose now to believe in me for the first time?
All right, Phil, you got this, man.
Two shots! I can't go, coach. Ow, my ankle.
Well, well, well. League rules dictate if a player can't attempt a free throw because of injury, opposing team gets to pick the shooter.
Right, but you're not a know-it-all.
Don't give his anger power. I pick you. Don't choke.
This is for all the marbles, folks.
What happened?
It's going to take an hour to get the power back up, so they called the game.
I just feel so bad for Phil. You know him as this happy-go-lucky guy, but he has been beating himself up over this for a year. And he was so close. It's going to haunt him, never knowing if he would have made that shot.
Game's on the line. Everybody's watching. This one's for all the marbles, folks. Son of a bitch made it.
So that clip from Modern Family was season 8, episode 16, where Phil Dunphy plays basketball. And, yeah, you heard the kind of whole ending of the episode where Phil has all the pressure to score a basket and the lights go out and he makes it. Both a heartwarming moment as well as funny, which is something Modern Family is really good at, which is incorporating really sweet sentiments into their comedic jokes, I guess you could say, or comedic lessons, I guess you could call them, because there always seems to be some sort of through line within all Modern Family episodes. Even though they have a very clear A, B, and C story, they always bring it together at the end. One thing Modern Family has really incorporated into its sitcom, which I think is one of its greatest strengths and separates it, is the fact that its characters are most definitely always willing to make fun of themselves. You heard with that joke where Phil says, "Oh, now you believe in me," when his father-in-law, Jay Pritchett, basically says, "You can do it," because the whole joke for these 8 seasons of the show is that Jay doesn't believe in him, and then, of course, in this one moment when he doesn't need the pressure to be added, that's what happens. And, yeah, I definitely think the characters on this show, I know I've talked about characters, but that's so important for TV comedy, but this one sets itself apart because they're always able, or always willing, to make fun of themselves. Which is a hard character to write because it's not very common in reality. So when you're able to create that dynamic, it gives you so many more opportunities for jokes, especially quick, sarcastic jokes. We are just about at the 25-minute mark of the episode, and as always, I like to talk about what Vancouver has going on in regards to whatever the topic is. So for TV comedy, as you guys know, Vancouver is Hollywood North, and we have a whole bunch of TV shows which are filming here this summer, actually, so maybe it could be your chance to get involved. As you know, I'm a big advocate of creativebc.com. Their website has basically everything in production that you can find. So there's A Series of Unfortunate Events, season 2. I know that's kind of a mix comedy slash drama slash horror, but definitely great elements of comedy in there. And then all of our superhero TV shows, we have Arrow, we have The Flash, we have Supergirl, and I definitely consider all of those shows, despite, of course, their action and their superhero shows, they definitely have great aspects of comedy. And yeah, those are a couple of shows you can get involved in Vancouver. Oh, and of course, you can't talk about TV comedy in Vancouver without talking about Supernatural. It is still filming, ladies and gentlemen, that's right. I think they're on season 12 now. So they've definitely grown from the horror genre more into the comedy genre. I think one of the best shows in regards to its self-awareness that they've been displaying in the later episodes, or later seasons, I guess you could say. So, yeah, definitely get involved in Vancouver's TV comedy, because we have a whole lot, and it's great. I really hope you guys have all enjoyed this episode of Finding the Funny right here on CITR 101.9. Make sure you stick around, because there's lots more great shows coming up on this station. And don't forget, if you want to contact us about anything to do with comedy, whether it be in Vancouver or in the entire world, just reach out to us on Twitter at FindingTheFunny. Our Twitter handle is at OneManOneShow. You'll see the description of the show and all that on Twitter. So we can't wait to hear from you guys, and give us a follow. Coming up next on CITR, we have Exploding Head Movies. You can join Gak as he explores music from the movies, tunes from television, and any other cinematic source, along with atmospheric pieces and cutting-edge new tracks. That's Exploding Head Movies at 7 p.m. right here on CITR. I'm a huge sitcom lover. I've watched basically every sitcom I can possibly think of. I think That 70s Show is great. I think Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is great. I think Saved by the Bell was great. There's so many good ones. I know a lot of those are kind of from the 90s in that time era. That was kind of when I was watching the majority of my sitcoms. Obviously, I know there's a lot of great ones now. I think Black-ish is a great TV show and the things they're doing. I really want to see Atlanta. I don't know if that would technically be considered a comedy, but I think Donald Glover is absolutely genius. So, yeah, maybe let us know what you think of Atlanta if you guys have seen the show. Overall, I'd say one of the greatest benefits to TV comedy, if anyone is interested in writing it, is the fact that you get to develop characters, and thus your jokes can grow over time. You have a new half hour every week, essentially, if you're in a traditional format, or even if with a web series. Thus, you can do the most outrageous episodes, and basically you're starting over the next week, if that's what you wish to do. And lastly, I think it's a really strong medium for portraying important messages, if that's something you wish to do as a writer or a performer or a director or however you're involved. I think comedy is something that can really talk about a lot of important things, and I think TV comedy generally in the past wasn't considered to be something that was supposed to be about lessons or political subject matters. Obviously, stand-up has a lot of that floating within its barriers, I guess you could say, because that's something that's been really common. Stand-ups kind of have that free range, whereas TV comedy has always been kind of held down by network and whatnot, but I think that's changed a lot, especially with the surge of Netflix and all those film and TV sharing formats, I guess you could say. But I definitely think TV comedy has found its new life, and it's really good at talking about things in a different light than a drama or a horror or anything else would. Before we say thank you and goodbye, here are some quick jokes from one of my favorite sitcom characters of all time. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Michael Scott.
Wikipedia is the best thing ever. Anyone in the world can write anything they want about any subject. So you know you are getting the best possible information.
Sometimes I'll start a sentence, and I don't even know where it's going. I just hope I find it along the way.
You know what they say. Fool me once, strike one. But fool me twice, strike three.
I declare bankruptcy!
That was Michael Scott from The Office, and this has been Nico McEwen. From all of us here at Finding the Funny, we thank you guys for listening and hope you have an awesome rest of your day. As always, keep laughing.